The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
E-scooter users are 11 times more likely to sustain severe injuries in road traffic accidents than motorists. That's from a report from the Injuries Resolution Board. Dr. John Legg is a consultant in emergency medicine at St. Vincent's Hospital, and he can attest to this as he is repeatedly treating people for e-scooter related injuries, and he's on the line now. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you for having me on.
Now, first of all, it's no surprise that if you're on an e-scooter or on a bicycle that and you're in collision with a motorized vehicle, you are likely to come off worse. So that stat is not too surprising, I suppose.
No, I mean, it's obvious. I mean, of course they are. These are vulnerable road users. When cars are designed, they're designed with the safety of the driver and the passengers in mind. They're not designed with the safety of other road users being considered. And we also are seeing that cars are getting bigger, they're getting heavier. And that has been associated with an increased risk of injury to all other road users as a result of this.
What kind of injuries are you seeing to e-scooter riders?
Well, e-scooter riders are the injury pattern they get would be quite different to what cyclists get. So e-scooter injuries would typically be upper limb injuries, so wrist injuries and shoulder injuries. If you fall off your e-scooter, you're going to put your arm out to break your fall. So that's where you're going to get the injury. And then the next most common injury would be head and face injuries.
Okay, now obviously a wrist injury, the wrist will heal, one presumes, and you might have arthritis later in life, but you're going to be pretty much okay. A head injury, though, is very significant.
Well, I mean, with a wrist injury, you'll be out of work as well for about 6 weeks, so it's not nothing.
It's not trifling, no.
No, head injuries, yeah, they're significant, and the head injuries that e-scooter users are getting do tend to be far more serious than the head injuries cyclists get. And then I know there was a study last week that showed that only 10% of e-scooter users were wearing helmets. Now, that was a retrospective study. So if someone comes with a wrist injury, you're not necessarily going to document whether or not a helmet has been worn or not.
Yeah.
So that comes as a pinch of salt. The article in the Irish Times from the Injuries Resolutions Board found about a third of e-scooter users wearing helmets. So it's hard to know what the true number is.
Yeah. Now, the question is, what kind of a helmet? I mean, if you go down and you're traveling and they're supposed to be limited to, what, 20 kilometres per hour, where I think the European norm is 25, but many of them would go far, far faster than that. If you come off an e-scooter and you're wearing, say, a bicycle helmet versus someone on a motorbike who's wearing a motorbike helmet, they're different with different levels of protection.
Absolutely. So it's hard to know, like, what is the most appropriate type of helmets to recommend people to wearing them. Like, obviously the better the helmets, the better protection you're going to get. And also a bicycle helmet won't protect for facial injuries. About a third of e-scooter injuries tend to be facial injuries, so a bicycle helmet won't protect that either. Also, look, I mean, telling people to have to wear helmets is obviously it's good advice, but
I occasionally drive my motorbike, and if I take off my helmet, I can stow it on the bike. Or in a compartment, you know, so there's absolutely no problem lugging it around. If you're on an e-scooter, you've got another thing that you have to drag around and mind.
As per the regulations in May 2024, you're not allowed to carry anything on the handlebars anyway. So that's not going to work either.
So you might have to have a rucksack with your lunch and your helmet in the back. That's the option. But the question of... And you can't be victim blaming here because it can be anybody's fault, either the scooter rider or the motorist. But the question of visibility of people, and I heard Ciara Kelly, my colleague, talking about e-scooter drivers dressed head to toe in black, which tends to be, you know, the fashion colour of the moment. They might have sneakers that have reflective bands on them, but other than that, they are pretty much invisible. And depending on a tiny glimmer on the back of the scooter to be seen by a motorist to avoid them.
Yeah, I mean, they're supposed to have a little a light on their front and back. That's kind of one of the requirements for them. But like, I mean, like all these things, like look, I mean, people wear what they want to wear and they dress how they want to dress. The problem is, I mean, the e-scooter users, cyclists, pedestrians, they're all vulnerable road users and they're trying to get to and from work by whatever means of micro mobility they can access. I know Eastgood is unpopular. I know people tend to dislike them on the roads. They give them a fright. They come out of nowhere. They tend to fall over and get injured. Like, we don't actually know what the story is as to why people are using these scooters. I mean, is it because they don't feel safe walking? Is it because they don't feel safe cycling? Is it because the buses go where they need to go? I would look at them as a symptom of a not very well connected public transport infrastructure.
Yeah, but I mean, they're incredibly convenient. I've ridden e-scooters as well, so I know what they're like to ride, and they are terrific. I mean, you know, you can fold some of them up so that they're not, you don't have to mind them. Like, if you have an e-bike, it's worth so much money that you'd need multiple padlocks to keep it from being robbed.
Yeah, true. But the thing with e-scooters is, I'm not sure what kind of journeys they're replacing. I don't think they're replacing car journeys. I think they're probably taking pedestrians and cyclists off the roads or people off the bus and put them on e-scooters instead. And what you're not getting from an e-scooter is you're getting increased risk of injuries because you're using them. We know that you're more likely to be injured severely on an e-scooter compared to a bike. But you're not getting the benefit of active travel. You're not getting the benefit of exercise and walking, which is actually really, really important, or even cycling. Like, I mean, those kind of exercise, that kind of little exertion you get before you head to work, very beneficial to you, very, very good for you, and also very good for the health service. I mean, any investment in active travel infrastructure yields returns to the health service.
Now, I did see two e-scooter users who were helmeted, but they were wearing scrubs. And given where I was coming from, they were either heading for the Blackrock Clinic or indeed to your hospital.
Okay.
And I'm just saying, and they were there in their scrubs ready to go to work, but they were on e-scooters, or perhaps they were anticipating ending up in the emergency room anyway.
Possibly. Yeah.
So the question is, what do we need to do to make it safer for everybody, those who enjoy or maybe desperately need the e-scooter for the maybe the last 2 kilometres of a long commute or whatever they need it for? How do we make it safer?
I think what we need to do is we need to encourage active travel. And we can't say, look, it's really good for you to walk. We actually need to make it possible to walk. We need to have well-lit streets, well-lit roads. We need to have walking paths and cycling paths completely segregated from traffic. You can't tell somebody to cycle to work when there's a big SUV bearing down on top of them.
Yeah.
And the mark for how safe a cycle lane is would you let your 6-year-old child cycle on it? And if you don't, then it's not safe for anybody to use. And that's it. And that just requires huge, huge, huge investments in infrastructure. And we need the political will to do that. And the other thing as well is, we've seen an increased number of e-scooter injuries over the number of years. That's because e-scooters are new and they've only just arrived. But with bicycles, when you increase the number of cyclists on the road, you actually decrease injuries. So this is a study found in Copenhagen and in the Netherlands. They found that increase in cycling numbers by about 40% decreases injuries of cyclists by 60% and deaths by 60%. Yeah.
Well, so, there is the visibility of a swarm of cyclists versus, you know, the solitary person in the darkness without a light.
True, but also, as you're expecting more bikes on the road, driver behaviour modifies.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that is the other thing that we need to do. We need to do some of that driver behavior as well. So, like, I mean, it's no point saying, look, wear a helmet and wear high vis jackets. If, like, you could be as visible as you want. If the driver's looking at his phone, he's not going to say, and he's going to kill you.
And by the way,
he's going to kill you in his big car.
John, you use that term active travel. I mean, if people think that standing on a scooter is doing their heart good, it's not. I mean,
I agree with you. That's passive travel.
That's not active.
I don't think
travel.
E-scooters, I would not classify e-scooters as active travel. I classify active travel as walking or cycling.
Yeah. Okay,
I guess the bus can be part of that because you walk from your bus stop to the place of work as well.
If people feel pious because they're on a scooter thinking they're out in the weather and that's what makes it active, it's not. That's passive travel. So,
but the generation has carbon emissions and they're generating less wear on the roads compared to a Land Rover, which we see lots of in the urban areas.
They're doing some good. All right. Dr. John Legg, consultant in emergency medicine at St. Vincent's Hospital. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.